Blog Talk Radio.
Have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your teacher and host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Precious brothers and sisters, God bless you. I'm so glad, I'm so grateful in the Lord that you decided to tune in today. We are continuing our study on the life and times of the prophet Samuel. We are studying this biblical character because, my brothers and sisters, He is the product of prayer. And not just the product of prayer, but he is the product of his mother's prayer. We are studying Samuel because Samuel is what we need today. You know, if we're going to win the battle, and the battle is raging. The battle is raging, and we have very few men and women, very few soldiers of Christ who are dressed with the armor of light. There are many on the other side, there are many in the other army who are dressed with the armor of darkness. Few of us are dressed with the armor of God, the armor of light. Few of us have the shield of faith. Few of us have the helmet of salvation. Few of us have the breastplate of righteousness. Few of us have the sword of the Spirit. But, you know, even though we're few, we have the mighty weapon called prayer. And when we pray, we are invoking God. We are asking the word invocation, the word invocare, the Latin word, and where we get the English word. The word invocation means to invite God. And why are we inviting God? Because we're outnumbered. Why are we inviting God? Because we are no match. We are no match for the devil, his demons, and his hordes. We're no match. And this is why we are going to invoke the Lord. You know, when you attend a church service, whether it's a Sunday morning service or a midweek service, there's always someone who opens up in prayer. That opening prayer is called the invocation. And the goal of the invocation, what the person who is praying the invocation must not fail to do, is to invite God to the service. Well, we are inviting God. We are inviting God to the battle that we're waging. You know, it's his battle. God owns it. Those who are coming against us are not really attacking us, but they are attacking the kingdom of God. Jesus put it this way: since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent. And you got to get violent. You got to get violent in the spirit. The violent take it by force. Battle, warfare, is not for the faint of heart. You have got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then, as Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that in the evil day, having done all, you may remain standing when all is said and done. And my brothers and sisters, we are in the trenches, we are on our faces, we are praying, we are seeking God because, as I will submit to you, our ministry ranks are depleted. We don't have ministers who really love the Lord. Those kinds of ministers are diminishing in great numbers. We have some old-timers who love the Lord, who are old school, who did it the way the Bible said it ought to be done, but a great many of those have already gone to be with the Lord, and those that remain are far and few. Now we need an injection, a new injection of blood. We need a new injection of leadership. We need for God to staff our ranks. And Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And if we were to apply that to today's message, we would pray it this way: pray ye the Lord of the battle, that he will send forth soldiers into the battle. We're in need of soldiers. We're in need of men and women who will do battle for righteousness, who will do battle for the Lord, who will fight wickedness, who would fight ungodliness, who will fight the forces of darkness, who will fight back, push back principalities and powers. And this is why we're studying Samuel, because Samuel is the prototypical type of minister that was given to the Old Testament church, because there's a woman who simply prayed that God will remove her reproach. She was barren and beareth not. Her name was Hannah. And she was simply praying, that God will remove her stigma, a social stigma of being barren. She prayed to the Lord for a man child. And the Lord answered her prayer and gave her a son by the name of Samuel. And she called him Samuel because she says, the strong one heard me. Shama is to hear. And El, the strong one. The strong one heard me. Who's the strong one? Our God. The very same God that we invoke. The very same God that we invite to our prayer meetings. The very same God. The very same God we call upon when we are in trouble. And the Bible says that he does what? What does he do? He does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think. He does exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or even imagine. This woman simply prayed. All she did was she prayed for a man child, that God will remove her social stigma. And God did exceedingly abundantly above what she asked or even could imagine. God did give her what she wanted. He did specifically answer her prayer because she asked for a man child, and that's what God gave. That's what God gave her. But you know, in giving her her man child, God was also giving to himself a future prophet. And that's why we can conclude that he does exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask. She asked for a boy, and God gave her a boy, and he gave himself a prophet. You see, he gives exceedingly abundantly what we could ask or even think. And we need leadership today, folks. And leadership's not going to come when we establish a Bible school. Leadership is not going to come when we establish a Bible Institute or Minister's Academy or a seminary. No, leadership comes the way it has always come to the church, when we pray. That's why Jesus said, when he looked at the multitude and he was moved with compassion because they were fainted and scattered abroad, Jesus didn't say, let us establish a Bible school. He said, no, pray ye. That was his solution. Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. So now, there are ten things that I want to share with you concerning Samuel. First of all, I want you to write down, number one, the word conceiving. Number two, I want you to write the word birthing. Number two is the word birthing. Number three is the word dedicating. Conceiving, birthing, dedicating. Now, we read that Hannah prayed that she would have a man child. And God showed up to Hannah's house. God blessed Hannah, and she was able to conceive. After conceiving, she was able to birth. And after birthing, she was able to dedicate. So those are the three things we need to know about Samuel. The first thing is he was conceived. Secondly, he was birthed. And thirdly, he was dedicated. These first three things occurred in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 1 Samuel chapter 2. Conceiving first, birthing second, and dedicating third. Now, there's another seven things I want you to write down. So let's continue in the order. One, you have conceiving. Two, you have birthing. Three, you have dedicating. And then number four is ministering. And for ministering, I want you to write down 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The fifth thing is calling. God called Samuel. That is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. Calling. God called the man. God called the boy. Number six, receiving. That is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. Number seven, declaring. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. So again, you have conceiving, birthing, dedicating. That's the first three. Number four, ministering. Number five, calling. Number six, receiving. Number seven, declaring. Number eight, growing. That is 1 Samuel 3:19. Number nine, establishing. That's 1 Samuel 3:20. Number 10 is fellowship. That is 1 Samuel 3:21. Today I want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we've already discussed. We don't need to review, we don't need to go back as to how Samuel was conceived, when he was birthed, and why he was dedicated. We've already covered all of that. Today I want to cover the last seven, which is point number 4 through 10. Again, number 4 is ministering. You will find that in 1 Samuel 3:1. Number 5 is calling, 1 Samuel 3, verses 2 through 10. Number 6 is receiving, 1 Samuel 3:11 through 14. Number 7 is declaring, 1 Samuel 3:15 through 18. Number 8 is growing, 1 Samuel 3:19. Number 9 is establishing, 1 Samuel 3:20. And number 10 is fellowshipping, 1 Samuel 3:21. Now, we need to pray. And this is why we are watchmen on the wall, because as watchmen on the wall, as Jesus tells us to watch and pray, we can actually see that the church is falling apart. The church is falling apart because it lacks leadership. The church is falling apart because it lacks preachers. It lacks prophets. It lacks exhorters. It lacks rebukers. It lacks men who can prophesy and edify. It lacks the prophetic element. So we're praying, God, send us. Because, again, Jesus said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Pray ye. We need ministers. We need an influx of ministers. God sent ministers. God ordained ministers. We need. Remember, Hannah prayed for a son. But God, who does exceedingly abundantly, above we can ask or think, not only did God give her a son, but he gave unto himself a prophet of prophets, the prophet Samuel. Now, we need preachers who, number four, are ministering preachers. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the child Samuel ministered. You see, we need to get these young preachers young. And we need to get them to start serving the Lord, ministering, not ministering in the pulpit, but cleaning the house of God, maintaining the house of God, vacuuming the house of God, sweeping the house of God, taking pine polish and polishing the pew. See, ministering to the Lord by maintaining the house of God. See, we need to develop servants. And we read here, and the child Samuel ministered unto whom? Unto the Lord as Eli supervised. We don't need ministers, preachers who are not ministers. We need ministers who can roll up their sleeves and do whatever needs to be done in the house of God. That's what we're praying for. We're not asking for diva preachers. We don't need diva. The church is full of diva preachers. We don't need any more diva preachers. We need preachers who start out and know a great deal about rolling up the sleeve and ministering to the Lord. Number five, we need preachers who are truly called of God. Preachers who are truly called of God. You know, most times it's the denomination that calls them, or it's the seminary that calls them, or it's a local church pastor who calls them. And many of these preachers are confused because they don't know if God called them. They know the denomination called them. They know that the pastor called them. They know that some group called them. But they have doubts as to whether they're truly called of God. We need for God to give us a batch of ministers, a new crop of ministers that know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God who called them into service. Let's read, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. So this way you can understand that Samuel was called of God. And it's imperative that this new group of ministers that God gives us, which we are praying for, will be men and women who know how to roll up their sleeves and serve, and also know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God who called them. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let us listen.
And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth.
You see, Samuel would always know for the rest of his life that he had this calling encounter with God. And we're praying, we're believing, we're trusting in God that he will send us a new crop of ministers that know exactly how to do that. Minister. How can you be a minister yet you're allergic to ministering? It's an oxymoron. How can you be called a minister of the gospel, yet you are allergic to ministry? And then we need God to give us men and women who know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God called them, not man, but God. And then we need ministers who, according to our outline, number 6, are men and women who can receive the word of the Lord, who are receptive to the word of God, who can actually hear God, take in God's word, soak in God's word, accept God's word. Let's listen. That's 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 14.
And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever."
Now, as you can see here, my brothers and sisters, Samuel, the child, was receiving a hard message. We don't need ministers today who can only receive the good. We don't only need ministers today who can receive the benign, but we also need to have preachers who can receive God's strongest, most sternest message. Do we need prophets who can receive the rebukes of the Lord? Too many of our preachers today, we know they're not called of God because all they serve is sugary words. None serve vinegar. None serve a word that is bitter. And here you have the prophet Samuel receiving the most bitter word, the most harsh word, a word of judgment. We need prophets, we need ministers who can receive a message from God that will not be palatable to those who it is sent to. We only have preachers today that want to preach the best, most wonderful, most glorious messages. Messages in which God is going to bless. But as you can see, God starts off Samuel by commanding him to receive a tough message. Those are the kinds of men and women we need for God to raise up. And those don't come by going to a seminary. Those are developed by prayer. God, send us prophets like Samuel who know how to receive the sternest messages. Lord, can you send us a prophet like Samuel? Can you send us a leader like Samuel who can receive horrific messages and then turn around without a problem and say, "Thus saith the Lord"? Because today we want prophets, we want preachers who can bring easy words, glorious words, acceptable words, good words. But we need prophets who can power. Away with those prophets who only speak of good. Away with those prophets who bring sugary messages. Away with those prophets who are afraid to declare the word of the Lord the way the Lord issued it. Away. Away. We don't need those kinds of leaders in the church. We rather remain leaderless We'd rather remain leaderless than to have leaders who will refuse to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Yes, 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 my brothers and sisters, I will not deny that God is a God of blessings, but he's also a God of curses. He's a God who tells us, yes, there is a heaven, but also that there is a hell. Yes, there is a God. There is a God who declares that, yes, there are things that are righteous, but then also there's things that are unrighteous, that there's a light and that there's a darkness. There are the godly and the ungodly, that there is a Christ and then there's a Belial. There are prophets of God who call evil evil and good good, and not like the prophets in the land today who call evil good and they call good evil. We need prophets who can receive the harshest words that come out of the mouth of the Lord and not just receive them, but also declare them. I'll be back after this short break. My brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray for leaders. Leaders are just aren't going to show up. Leaders are just not going to arrive mysteriously on the door. We're going to have to pray them in the way Samuel was prayed in. Did we think to pray? Is the question of the hour. And saints, we can't forget to pray. It is deadly to forget to pray. We will self-destruct if we forget to pray. Prayer is the tool, the instrument, the vehicle by which we get a hold of God, and God comes to our rescue. So not only did Samuel minister before the Lord, not only is his calling evident, not only did he receive the word of the Lord, but now he declared it. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. Let us read.
And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good."
And there you have it. Samuel received a tough word, but he was faithful in declaring a tough word. A lot of times we don't want to offend our audience. We don't want to tell our audience what the Lord says to them. Shame on us if we withhold anything God tells us to tell the people. Well, we want to do them a favor. Well, I don't feel comfortable. Well, you know, God have mercy on them. Let me pray for them. No. You have to declare. You received it. Now you have clear it. You can't edit the words of God. You cannot add to them. You can't take away. You have to declare it the way you received it. And we need to pray that God will give us a batch of preachers, a new batch of preachers, a new crop of preachers that can receive the word of the Lord and declare it the way they received it. They are no good to us. And this is why the church is in the mess it is in, because we have preachers who know nothing about ministering. We have preachers who know nothing about calling. We have preachers who know absolutely nothing about receiving the word of the Lord, and we have preachers who know absolutely nothing about declaring the word of the Lord. That's why we're in trouble. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why we're in the bind in which we find ourselves in. They know nothing of ministering, calling, receiving, and declaring. And they also know nothing about growing in the Lord. Many of the preachers in the pulpit today are stunted individuals who have not grown in character, who have not grown in maturity, who have not grown in holiness, who have not grown in their dedication, who have not grown in love. They are stunted. But look what the Bible says about Samuel, and that is point number 8. Samuel knew something about growing. 1 Samuel 3:19.
And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground.
And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. The young man was developing. The young man was growing. The young man was rising in stature, and the Lord was with him. In addition to that, the Lord was establishing Samuel. Establishing. That's verse number 20.
And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord.
You see, God made him. God formed him. God set him up. To be established means to be set up. God set him in his position. God established him. We need for God to establish people rather than them trying to establish themselves. They politic, they fight, they backstab, they participate in church divisions, they're members of coup d'etats, only so that they can rise to power in a human effort to establish themselves, not Samuel. It was the Lord who established Samuel. It was the Lord who was pushing Eli to the side and Eli's two sons to the side. And it was the Lord who was establishing Samuel. Samuel didn't have to do anything. It was the Lord doing for him. And then finally, we read that Samuel fellowshipped with the Lord and that the Lord had communion with Samuel. Verse 21.
And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord.
And there in Shiloh, the Lord and Samuel were in fellowship and were constantly talking and were constantly conversing and were constantly communing. My brothers and sisters, if we're going to turn this mess around called the church, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to pray that God will give us a new crop of ministers like Samuel who will, number four, minister. Number five, be called of God. Number six, receive the word of the Lord. Number seven, declare the word of the Lord. Number eight, grow in the Lord. Number nine, be established by the Lord. And number 10, commune and fellowship with the Lord. And again, I reiterate, the reason why we're in the mess that we're in is because the ministers, for the most part, that we have today were not given to us by God, were not conceived by God, were not birthed by God, were not dedicated to God, know nothing about ministering to the Lord, know nothing about his calling, know nothing about receiving, know absolutely nothing about declaring, are foreign to growing, have not been established, and do not fellowship with God. This checklist, these ten things that we see here concerning Samuel, these 10 things are vital and need to be found in everyone who steps behind the pulpit to minister the word of the Lord. And we need to, now we know what we need to pray for. God, give us ministers that have these 10 features. Give us ministers just like Samuel, who evidence these 10 points found here in the book of 1 Samuel, in the first three chapters. And once we pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, having these 10 points, then we're going to have revival in the church. Then this thing is going to be turned around. Then the Lord will come and save the day. This is why we need to pray. Jesus said, after being heartbroken, after looking at the multitude and being moved with compassion, he said, pray. Pray ye, the Lord of the harvest. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the last thing we're doing. We're doing a lot of talking. We're doing a lot of planning. We're doing a lot of searching. We're reading a lot of resumes. But the last thing we are doing as watchmen on the wall is we're not praying to the Lord of the harvest. And this is why we are as jacked up as we are. Well, I'm going to leave it there. And I'll be back next week with more on praying to the Lord of the harvest. God bless you.